they drag you through the dirt. And when nobody's around, they'll carry you through the hurt. Just remember that family comes. Just remember
your brain. We go the cruise where you just complain. When our enemies go, they do skin pain. But we'll be cool where we just maintain. Massa, every yanka susu kasa. Jina China, mindi massa. Me mi hanki na mi himansa. Massa, nana nyame nikita ansa. Mela me nyame nikita power. Jina China, mindi massa. Who say God no day? Who say God no day? Who say
say God no go fit make a way? Who say God no go do am again? Who say God no day? Who say God no day? Who say God no go fit make a way? Who say God no go do am again? Who say God no day? Who say God no day? Who say God no go fit make a way? Who say God no go do am again? Who say God no day? Who say God no day? Who say God no go fit make a way? Who say God no go do am again? Yes.
Okay. Lego.
You didn't fear? Make you no fear. Who say God no day? Who say God no day? Who say God no go fit make a way? Who say God no go do am again? Who say God no day? Who say God no day? Who say God no go fit make a way? Who say God no go do am again?
All things work together for good. To them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, to his purpose. Now shake. When our enemies go, they do skin pain. But we'll be cool when we just maintain. When our enemies go, they do skin pain. But we'll be cool when we just maintain.
Yeah, who say God no day? Good morning and welcome to Farm Life, your special and regular Saturday morning family engagement, enrichment, and strengthening program. My name is Michael Mensah, and we're live here on City 97.3 FM, as well as on the internet. And so you can and are able to join us all across the globe, for which we are graciously thankful. Today, as always, we're going to have something a bit different, in the sense that rather than having and bringing a clear and specific topic, we're going to open the house. So today we have an open house or an open forum. And what that means is that you can get to us via text or via WhatsApp or Telegram. And then also we intend to open the phone lines a bit early so we can engage with you. You are free to engage us on any topic or any issue that's of importance to you. It can be a query, it can be a question, it can be a criticism, it can be a suggestion, it can be a recommendation, it can also be a comment. Whichever one it is for you, in this open house today, we are all going to engage, because it's going to take both us and you to have a beautiful and a successful program. Now, when I was a young boy, probably about 10 years old, and now I'm in my 50s, so this way past 40 years. It's one of the poems that I used to see, and it's about leisure, and it's written by William Henry Davis. And I'd like to share that with you as we begin, so you and I can look at life from a different perspective. And then I'll ask, there are a few comments from last week that we did not and could not give attention to, and then we'll do so. And then I'll ask my lady in the house what is on her mind, what aches her, or what is burning on her heart about family, about love, about relationships. I may share mine as well. We'll engage briefly on that. But whilst we do that, you can get to us via WhatsApp or Telegram on 0549-986-996. Again, 0549-986-996. Again, 0549-986-996. It's an open house. So whatever your concerns are, whatever your queries are, whatever your questions are, whatever your contributions are, please feel free to share in any part of the country and in any part of the world. We are here for you. Like somebody says, we dare for you. And with God granting grace, we would get it done together. Now, the title is Leisure. It says, what is this life if full of care? We have no time to stand and stare. No time to stand beneath the boughs and stare as long as sheep and cows. No time to see when woods we pass, where squirrels hide their nuts in grass. No time to see in broad daylight streams full of stars like stars at night. No time to turn at beauty's glance and watch her feet, how they can dance, the feet of beauty. No time to wait till her mouth can and reach that smile her eyes began. A poor life this, if full of care, we have no time to stand and stare. How are you spending your day? How are you spending your week? How are you spending your month? How is it all culminating in a year for you? As a person, how are you managing? As a significant other, how are you bonding? As a family person, man or woman, family man or family woman, how are you making time in this fast-paced ecosystem for yourself first, for your spouse second, for your children third, and for all the others? Often what comes first and occupies the big chunk of our lives is our work, because that's where the money comes from. That's where the prestige and the status is derived. But the thankless, significant one, which has to do with relationship, love, and family, is often thrown to the background. Yet that is what aches us and hurts us the most. Because then when home is not working well, it cascades into how we feel and how we do stuff. And sometimes we deflect that emotion onto others, unintentionally or unintended. What do you see? Today's an open house. Today's an open forum. And I'm going to begin, like I said, with the lady. So the voice you're about to hear is going to be the voice of Mary Rosaki Mrs., the counselor and entrepreneur, wife and mother. And I'm going to take the first message that we could not attend to. I mean, it's just left with a few, I think one or two. So we'll read that and then we'll give it attention. And then we'll go on from there. So Ray from Accra says, "Good morning, farm life. I think I need help. I'm in a relationship with this beautiful lady. Anytime she does something I don't like, I'm unable to tell her. I rather pull away from her for a while. She'll come around trying to find out what the issue is, but I'll keep saying I'm okay whilst hurting inside. I sometimes ask myself why I do that. Sometimes I fear what I might say might push her away from me. So I keep the pain within till I'm okay, then we move on. How do I go about this attitude of mine?" Mary, what do you think?
Good morning, listeners, and thank God for another beautiful weekend. I was looking at it and I was wondering, I'm glad he ends with saying it's an attitude, it's a mindset, you know, it's a personality issue.
You didn't drink tea. Don't mind me.
It's a personality issue. So the good thing is that you have noticed your weakness, because identifying your weakness is one halfway, you know, solved, kind of. Because if you don't know it, it's another thing. I think we have even a local adage that says that that kind of thing, you know. So once you sell your sickness, then you get the medicine for it. So once you even know what is ailing you, then you can get help for it. But since you know that it's a weakness and it bothers you, I think that don't wait till you are hurt and then you kind of dodge or try to hide your emotion from the lady, because maybe you are afraid. Probably when you get angry, it's very nasty or something like that. So you try to hold yourself together. When you're in good time, don't wait when she's hurt you. When everything is fine, I think you should be able to tell her that trait of yours, so that she will understand and know that whenever you are to yourself like that or you draw away, there might be something hurting you. And then she can help with the situation. For me, that's how I will look at it. maybe I can't go into the psychological effects of it, but I think that superficially, or don't wait till you are in pain, and because when you are hurt, you don't want to open your mouth, you don't want to talk too much, you want to be by yourself and all that. And so it wouldn't be a good time to wait when you are hurt, then you are now come to tell the person that, oh, I'm hurt or something like that. But let her know that that's how you are. That's how you kind of handle your situations, because two are better than one. We come together because I know that the opposite attracts. You saw something in her that maybe you don't have. That's the reason why you went in for her. And probably she can complement that attitude of yours. Maybe she's a type who can help you to snap out of that kind of thing. Yes, even though she might be the cause of the issue, but at the same time, she could also be an answer. So she doesn't worry unnecessarily, or for it to lead into something else which can jeopardize the relationship. So if she knows that, oh, my husband is like that, when my husband is not happy, he's usually quiet. Or when my beloved is quiet and he's withdrawn like that, something might be hurting him. It might be, even sometimes it might be her. Even now you are saying that it's her, but I'm sure some other people too can cause you that kind of feeling, and then you would withdraw as time goes on. So if you don't let her understand now, it might be a big challenge. And so it's not wise that talk things over. And then apart from her, I think you can also start from her, because life is about choices and decisions that we make. That's the reason why enlightened about things. When you know about things, then you find ways and means to deal with the things. Yes. So now you have identified that this is you. This is what you do. Probably, if it is only related to the lady, then maybe there's some fear in you that you don't want to lose her. You love her so much. You don't want to do anything to hurt her. But hey, I tell you, if you continue keeping it in, one day you will explode and it will be nasty. So tell yourself, give yourself some positive affirmations. Learn how to quiet for a little bit, put my thoughts together and put my words together. That art yourself, decide that I'm going to learn to be able to speak out how I feel. Let her know how I feel, because bottling it up doesn't help. If it doesn't explode, it might give you some sickness or health issues in the future, you know. And you don't need that. You don't go into a relationship to go and get unhealthy. It's supposed to bring the best out of you. So try and how it is, try and get over in a very good tone. Psych yourself, find a good time and talk about it, so that you get some kind of resolution. And then when you're able to talk about with her, she might not repeat whatever that she does that causes you pain. If you don't talk about it and you think that, I will deal with it by being quiet when I'm fine, then I come out, she will do it again, because she doesn't know. She can't read your mind. So the only way we make relationships better is to let our partners know how we feel at any particular point in time, so that we can help each other, so that our minds can meet, so that we can have the best of each other. And that is the essence of relationship. Relationship is not always rosy, every time saying all the nice things. Yes, it's part of life. And life is full of negatives and positives that comes together to give power, you know, like in the electricity. So when there's something negative, it's not necessarily that bad. It's how you go about it or how you handle it that can make it bad. You can add positive to it and give it power, give it a good vibe, give it a good bring the best out of. Sometimes in relationship, you see that that the days that maybe you hurt your partner and he's able to, or she's able to talk about it, and the person apologizes or whatever. You know, afterwards, sometimes it can really bring some refreshing times, you know, some bonding, some beautiful time. You talk about it, you're all on the same plane, you're all smiley, happy, and you can even decide to go out, or, you know, because now you've been able to solve your problem. I understand, I'm sorry, oh, I didn't mean to let it be this way and all that. And then the next moment you are chatting away and life is good. So this is the little I think I would say. It's good that you know, but do something about it. Knowing alone is not enough. Do something about it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. The little I'll add is that, you know, like we often talk about nature. There's this trajectory that I often like to go on. There's nature.
And nature.
There's nurturing. There's the nest you grew up in. There's a network. Who are your friends? There's a neighborhood. Then all this, there's a nuances that are your idiosyncrasies. All of them add up to produce you, the native. What kind of native you are is what you are describing. And so there are some personality traits that make us introverted. And so rather than opening up the, if you use, there are different models that are used in personality descriptions or assessments. If you use, for instance, the temperament model, it talks, there's a temperament, largely the supine, that wants you to, one, read their minds, and two, carry anger, as they don't express their anger in any form, whether positively or negatively. And so they ingest it or internalize it, and then it becomes hurt feelings. And when they are hurt too, they don't share. They expect you to read their mind. So it's not that you are doing anything wrong. That's your wiring, naturally. So like Marie said, what it will require is for you to now put in steps. And some of us are willing to support you. Put in steps. What the steps is, that one, you must know that, why am I not able to communicate? So you need sometimes write it down. I am upset because I am not happy with A, B, C, D. That's how now you begin to move from internalizing the anger or the disappointment or disapproval, which then becomes a hurt, to itemize what that real issue is. That's one. Then secondly, you say, I need to discuss this. So it's helpful when you write these things down, because you are moving from the known to the unknown. And so when you write it down, then three, you say, I will speak as best as I can so that I get the best outcome. You write these things down. It's very helpful to write it down because it's not your forte. It's not your natural graining. So when you write it down and then you carry it through, you realize that it begins to help you in the process now of being able to be a little more open with your emotions, and then to deal with the growth areas, like when we said, the negative side. We all have weaknesses and positives and strengths. And this is, we try to call the weaknesses growth areas to make us have a positive outlook to making it a better area for us. So once you take that step and action, you realize that with the baby steps, you then begin to become a better version of yourself. But we are willing and able to support you if you get to us via the phone lines we mentioned after. Or you can ask via text again for my number, via message, yes. And then a wonderful technical person here, Daniels, will give you my contact or any of us are contact to help. Okay, then Maxwell says, hello, Farm Life. We got married last month. Please help us with advice to make our marriage a success. Marie, they got married last month. Maxwell says they got married last month. So, oh, I skipped something. Okay, now skip the lady. Okay, so that's the second one. So let me read the third one, then you address that. Okay. So Maxwell says they got married last month and they need any advice to help their marriage succeed. So Marie, please take note. Then there's, good morning, I'm married. And anytime there's an issue I try to discuss with my husband, he sees it as a complaint about everything. I try to get his friend to talk to him, and he's telling me, I go around telling people he doesn't come home. I'm hurting, worried lady. Marie, so please give both attention. When she raises an issue, he says she's complaining. When she tries to get a third party to talk to him, he says that she's taking things out, and she's hurting and she's worried. What should she do? And then Maxwell says, any advice, any tips to make their 1-month-old marriage a success?
Yeah, I think I'll take the nearly words first. It's you should be on cloud now by now. 1 month, I think you are really honeymooning and life is good. But I always say that when you marry, always look at your marriage as having a newborn baby. When you have a newborn baby, what do? You train the baby. You tune the baby. You prepare the baby for the future. And that's how marriage is. Don't get all so carried away with the joys and, yes, have a lot of fun. But also start training the marriage. Come to the same mind. I know that when you're courting, you'll be talking about, oh, we'll do this, we'll do that. But now you are in the reality. You are married. So start putting together. Get a small book for the two of you. And then start writing down your plans, what you're looking for, what if all areas, financial, psychological, spiritual, everything, career, you know, children, family, everything. Start putting them down and then give yourself some kind of commitment and promises that you try and not break. Like, take decisions about when you have conflict. Conflict, they will certainly come. But it is not supposed to break your front. Like, you can decide that for us, we are not going to put divorce in our dictionary. It's not part of our discussions. Whatever that happens, we'll have to be able to talk and solve it.
Yeah.
We are not going to chicken out. Put certain things whilst you are having fun, you know, and especially when you're having fun, like everybody is ready to talk because you haven't really experienced each other. When you wait for too long, then it's difficult to set some of these guidelines to help you. So as you're having your fun, you are writing things down, you are catching up on each other. Now you're going to see more things. Of course, you are spending more time together, so you see more of your downsides and all that. You take note, you communicate more, set the principles in place. Every day, catch up on each other. Let it be a habit. Build the habit. Like I said, you are training a baby, so build that habit. If you are training a baby, you teach the baby, you eat 3 times a day, you eat 5 times a day, you change diaper this time. You tune the baby. So start tuning, and it should be a mutual thing. It shouldn't be one person lording over the other. Do it as a couple. Do it with that agreement. You shouldn't find one person trying to tune the other, but both of you are tuning yourselves for a secure future. For a good foundation that in future you can stand on to build all other things coming in. Take your decisions. Make sure that, I know that sometimes people marry and then they are like, oh, I want to have an honeymoon for a long time, and they are taking precautions and all that. And later on, it becomes, that precaution tends to become a barrier or a hurdle or something.
Mm.
Take some of these decisions with advice. Look for counsel to take those kind of major decisions that could have adverse repercussions in the future. And I believe that you would be able to have fun all throughout, as long as God would give you that opportunity to be together. That's the little I would say, Maxwell. And then the worried lady, I don't know how you try to discuss the issue with your husband when you have the issues, when you see something, you know, anytime there's an issue, how you go about telling, maybe you try to initiate the conversation at the wrong times, and that is the reason why he sees it as complaint. Why don't you, maybe the tone with which you say it, why don't you, do you never do that, you never, you know, we are humans, we find ourselves using that word, never, you never do this. Maybe the person did the once and then you never did the, every time I'm talking, you know, can we talk, you know, all those things, sometimes they kind of put the man off. Can we talk? And all that's like, you called him to Sahendri, and then immediately they take on their shield to protect themselves. And then they feel like you do. So I think that you should watch your mode of discussion, or look at the approach with which you try to discuss. You can bring it out without letting it sound like you are bickering him. You're always on his neck, this, that. And yesterday, I break your shoes, and you're always on him. There might be issues, but don't let it be too frequent complaining. You have issues. Everybody has an issue. We all have issues. You have to understand that. So the ones that you can deal with. But the ones that you think that you can't deal with, don't complain about everything, or don't seemingly say that, oh, I have an issue I want to discuss, but it's actually a complaint.
Is it always a complaint, or is genuine feedback? A person is not happy about something that's happening. They may not necessarily be complaining, but they are bringing forth their concerns. How about that?
That's what I'm saying. That yes. Sometimes you would come across as if you are complaining, but if you are giving a feedback, you say, "Oh, do you know that these things that you do, it gives this kind of effect or whatever?" But you cry nowadays, and it becomes a complaint.
So you are saying that the way it is delivered is what makes it a concern or a complaint.
Yes, not a concern.
If it's delivered well? So the first point is, well, I'm sure she's listening. But the second point is, what if she delivers it in the best tone and posture, yet it's seen as a complaint because it is not in agreement with the wiring or the perception of the husband?
Then that one, I don't know. I think that she definitely will have to do something about it. But she says that she tells his friends, oh.
So she
tells his friends.
So she says she went on to tell a friend, not one.
I tried to get his friend. Yes. So he has his one good friend that she thinks that she can bounce the thing.
Then when she says it directly, He says she's complaining.
Yes.
From the little I pick.
Yes, from what I'm seeing.
Somebody. Close.
But then sometimes, you know, look at how when David sent, and then he went to the prophet. He said that, what did he say? He went and then he gave a scenario. He didn't say that you have done. He gave a scenario that he judged himself. You are telling a friend. But sometimes you have to let a friend not go and say that your wife says this and so and so and so. It's like I'm saying, the mood. Maybe the friend just goes and it sounds like he's attacking. Once people feel attacked, they put on their defenses. So the friend just goes and, Charlie, you this thing that they do, you know, whatever, you know. But then the friend can use a nice way, not even let the husband know that you've complained or you've raised that issue with him. And then he will use his own wisdom in a nice way to bring his mind to the fact that, hey, women, they need this kind of thing. So the mode in which you do it. But if you go and tell a friend that, go and tell him that, they will rebel. Because it's not a friend that is, he's not married to his friend. He's married to you.
Okay. Yeah. And when she says it directly to you, you get offended. And she's trying to find solution. That's why she's trying to use a bypass.
So,
and that also, you say, he's, what is it, going around telling people that. So maybe he doesn't come home early and she's concerned. And maybe she's brought it to your attention severally. You know, we talk of repeated actions. We talk of scarce or one out of a blue situation. So this may be a repeated action. That
the way she's saying is repeated, yes.
That's why she's gone ahead to see a friend. Like you've rightly said, maybe the way the friend went about dealing with him on the issue, it was maybe more confrontational or accusational rather than trying to draw his mind about the need to be there for his wife or get home early. So that's also a fact. The other side is also that sometimes people, we are all generally basically defensive, but the degree of defense varies from person to person.
To person, of course.
There are some people who are more tolerable and will listen in good faith and then show consideration. There are others who are cast in their way. They want things done their way largely. And so it's either their way or the highway.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
Sometimes you might have people who, when you give them feedback, immediately they will react so violently. So defensively. But then later you see that they will be putting that thing to act.
Yes.
There's some people, they will calm, they will listen, but they will never do it.
Yes.
So we have different scenarios. Yes. And then I would also ask, at what time does she raise her issues?
Yes.
You know, is it when he's busy doing his own thing, then you are the taking timing. Those. So the timing is also very important. The timing is very important. If you are telling him, and maybe if you talk chappy-chappy like me, and it will sound like, hey, you are drumming in my ears and all that. So sometimes you can write. Write a nice note. And then slip it in his pocket. I'll give it to him.
Okay.
You know? And what when he reads, he will know how, this is how my wife is feeling.
Let me be an advocate. And we've had these people share severally. What if the man is up to something? Like, for instance, he's coming home late. So now we are going beyond just her script and interfacing with other dynamics. What if the man maybe is having fun outside, maybe engages with boys after work, weekends is out, she hardly sees him, goes early, comes late, or she leaves him at home if she's a working wife, and he comes home late, so she hardly sees him a week during the week. Weekends that you expect that he'll be around, he's gone. And then when you said, I'm not happy, I'm not getting your attention, and then he says, there's nothing wrong. I'm providing. If you have children, maybe their provision is well taken care of. We have a place we are living in. I'm doing my best. So what's your need? What's your problem? What's your situation? And you have quite a number of, though the males also do complain about or raise their issues, more frequent with women who feel neglected, who feel alone because their spouses are often not available. Okay. And when they raise the issue, is the same thing. There's no problem. And then when they raise it, they are rather accused of nagging or complaining. Whereas the other party needs to evaluate and realign. So in such a case where a wife finds herself, and I'm using a wife precise, we can look at it from the woman, we can look at the man's side as well. What should a person do when her husband is largely unavailable? He's often out with other friends, male friends, or with female friends. After work, come home late. The whole week, they are non-available at home largely. And then weekends, when you think they can and should be around to bond or to engage and to build the friendship or the cohesion, they are out there. They sleep. When they wake up, they are out and they are gone for hours on end. What should a woman who finds herself in such a situation do? What are some tips or some lessons they can take? Yeah,
I think that we are all different. And if the person is just out, is he out for a good reason or is just out there? You know, and why is he out there not enjoying it? You should ask these questions yourself.
Sometimes you mean ask yourself or ask them?
Ask yourself.
Okay.
For me, I've come to a point in life where I think that many times they say, look to yourself. You said a poem that you, when you were a child, you said, I remember when we were in school, we learned a poem like that. They said, look to yourself first. In all things, look to yourself first.
Okay.
Yes. Look to yourself first. We are always saying you. But you see, they always say that when you use your finger to point, your index finger to point at somebody, the rest of the four, they are pointing to you. This is a thing that is always said, but we don't really give attention. We are always looking at, he did this, she did that, he did this, she did that. Look at you. What have I done? What did I do? Why is it so? put the thing on you and then the searchlight on you. I'm not saying put the blame. Put the searchlight on you and try and find the reason.
Okay.
Then you know why. Like I told Maxwell, maybe when you married at first, you did not tune the relationship in that way that it had to go. So you allowed him to have his way and hang out with his boys, because I know some of them now, the young people are here, sometimes some of them they marry and they're into games, and then they hang out with their boys and they are playing all this game, PlayStation, and they can play games over and over. You did not win him off those things. So he still thinks that, hey, it's normal. He goes and comes and goes and comes and you don't say anything. And it's become almost like a habit. Then suddenly you want to change it because you went somewhere and then there was a conversation and you heard a conversation or you read on social media. They said, oh, when then you start becoming critical. You read somewhere, they said, oh, men, their phone, so and so. You go and look on the phone. You see something, then you are reacting, you know. You should look at yourself. Why is it that your husband does not want to, your husband doesn't want to spend time with you? What brought about that? Why is he not enjoying your company? Because if you, when you married, if you, all things being equal, one elderly woman a long time ago told me, she knows that her husband, you know, sometimes he wants to sit somewhere and go and have a drink and all that kind of thing. She wants him at home. So she herself, she'll get a drink, chill it and all that. Prep all the things, get herself ready. So by the time he comes, he knows he has a cool drink in the fridge he can enjoy. And she's available. She's present with him. She's present with him, listening and chatting and making them have a good time. Instead of now, because of career path and all that, most of us, we are busy. We are in the house together, but we are busy. You are sitting there, you are minding your business, you have all sorts of reports to write, you have, if you are going to school, doing some extra academic work, you are learning. So we are not putting in the quality time to help keep the relationship bubbling like it should. So when you are able to identify what exactly... I'm not saying it's your fault, but what you have not been doing, or at what point you noticed that he was doing that and all that, then you can, you know, call his attention with real relevant. But if it becomes every time, oh, you don't come early, you don't come, what is the reason? Is it a good reason? And in his being away, does he always try to come back home or whatever? You know, so if it's just hanging out with boys, then make friends with his friends. And sometimes if it's weekend, he's going, follow him.
What?
If you can't handle it, follow him.
What if he says, I'm not going with you? He rejects you. You see, I'm hearing you, and so we are listening and learning. But there are some guys who are set in their ways.
Don't follow me, yes.
There are some guys who would not say, because you can't insist you are going with him if he says no.
Don't follow me. There are so many strategies.
Like, so give us some. Give us some. We are all ears.
There are so many ways in killing a cat. So you yourself have to identify your situation. Never try and copy somebody's own. Yes, okay. You can look at some. Don't do, in marriage, it's not cut and paste though.
Okay.
No. Or copy and paste.
Okay.
You copy, but then you have to always
adapt.
Yes, there must be some kind of adjustment here and there you have to do to make yours work. Uh-huh. So, like I said, this woman who noticed that her husband was staying out, it was because he wants to hang out and drink with people. So she made herself available. She provided everything that the man needed. Mm. So when he comes home, there's some there for him, and then she's available. She's available. It's not that the man has come and then now I have to go here. I'm going to see my sister. I'm this. You are in the house or you're on your phone. So he's there, but you are not there for him. You are not capturing his attention. You have to do everything to capture his attention. Okay. You want him to be with you in the house when he comes. Capture his attention.
Okay.
That is very important. That's what is capturing the attention. If you don't like football, he wants to watch the football. try and be present. Oh, try and be a mate. Then sometimes the guys, they tell you, oh, but they have TV, they have DSTV, everything. They still want to go and sit out there and watch. Exactly. And say, because the guys, they said, oh, it's exciting, yeah, the euphoria and yeah, all that. And yeah, then, you know, so, oh, let's go one day, just follow him. Let's go.
What if he says he doesn't want you to go with him?
No.
No, what if he says no?
He can't say you, he will.
Why can't he say? He can't. Some guys do so. They say, where I'm going is only guys, so you're not welcome.
You have to know how you play your game.
So
you know,
tell us, how do you play your game?
It's not everything that I can do detail like that.
No, so
on the radio, discerning person, you should know how you play your game. With you know, which I'm not a guy, but I mean, where I talk to people one on one, we have a term we call, you have to know your neke.
Mm-hmm.
Eh?
Mm-hmm.
My friend says, "Infe neke no ibaba." You should know your thing with your guy. Mm-hmm. If you are married and you don't know your thing with your wife or your husband, then you have to look for it. You should know what you do that will snap
so
the person.
So let's take that.
So you should know your neke.
So if some people don't know their neke, what can they do to know their neke? Because, you know, increasingly, and that's the truth, there are a lot of guys who are already detached. They are detached way longer. So, the wives are feeling it, they are trying to, but it's not working. So, how can they begin to build? Because there's like, it's like they're all in silos. There's a certain level of connection, which is minimal. Beyond that one, everybody has their life. And that's where the aching and then the hurting comes in. Where they are trying to connect, to overextend themselves. But the other party is not even it's not allowing them. Some of them will come, they'll eat their food. Some of them will not even eat their food. Some of them will come and they say, I'm eating already. Some of them will come home while they are asleep. And some will come and then all manner of stuff.
Yeah.
Some are not even intimate, physically intimate with their spouses and all. So, how do they go about, from your perspective, to build their neck?
You know, all the things you're enumerating here, they are things that it means that they were left undone. They were left unsupervised over the years. And then it has become a canker. And now it's catching you.
Exactly.
So, you rightly said, how can they build that thing?
Mm-hmm.
So it means you have to go back to scratch. Go back to the drawing table. Go back to the drawing table and see where you started from. How did I let this person so loose to go? Because if the person, at the time when the person said, I'm committing to you, it was ready for you. They came in. They were not like that. How did they stray? Because sometimes out of our excitement and our honeymooning, we forget. And then we allow them to do anything. And it becomes a habit. You've allowed me to go. Now all of a sudden you said I shouldn't go with my friends. Why? When you started, Maxwell, and then they within the early times, when it's going somewhere, you all go together. When you even when you marry a friend, some people, they go to the market together. They go everywhere together, especially when there are no children. When the children comes in, then sometimes we find excuses. But instead, so couples or women who find themselves in this, go back to the drawing board. Your partner or your husband might seemingly be so hard-headed or how do you call it, difficult to get to, but as long as the person goes and come back to that house, he has a certain link. There's some connection. Look at that connection and build more connections with the person. Yes, if there's no sex between you, why is the sex not between you? Maybe you are doing something else that is putting the person off. You have to find out. It's not just that the person, you know, sometimes we can, in talking, we can just say, oh, and the person is just like this. But there's something that is making the person be that. Do that research. Pay the price. If you really want your man or your woman, it's work. We've always said this. Pay that price and look for it. Do research. You think the scientists, they are coming up with all this thing that we're seeing by just sitting there and staring. They are burning the midnight candle. Research is a lot of reading, a lot of work. Go in there. Do reading about, get information about your spouse. Find out why he's doing what he's doing. Try in his conversation with you, the times when he's in good mood and he will talk about things. Listen and find out what happens at his workplace. When he goes to have this boys thing, cry, what happens there? You know? And in fact, last week, one thing that I heard over and over again was like, some men, they have that conception. You know, over here, our culture, social culture things, it's not everything that we tell women. So a man might be hurting, but he thinks that I have to man it. So he will not tell a woman and all that. Some of all these background things come in. As for Bema dear, you know, that concept is in the man. I mean, I'm not naming any particular thing, but there's a concept that when you're a man, you have to do this. A man, you should drink. A man, you should hang out. A man, you should do that. And so if a person is coming from that kind of background and you have been able to marry the person, another woman told me, Osi, eye metusela. Nessa, I'm amazing 10 years, Krana. I'm sorry. Let me not use 10 years because I'm underage. Metusela. Metusela means you are so older than me. The age gap between us is so big or so wide. But once I have been able to marry you, I have to be able to bring you to my level. Okay. Those are some of the neke. You don't go into marriage playing age. You are 100 years old, but you saw me, I'm 20 years old. You still want to marry me. You have to come to my level. Yes.
Okay.
You have to come to my level. And sometimes I also have to come to your level. It's not one-sided. Yeah. So we should be able to do all that work. Do a lot of research. It never ends because people change. People will change because of so many things. It could be because they are unhealthy or something. Or they come to the house, the way the house is, it doesn't really make them feel at home. You have to do that research. You would see it. We are human beings. God has given us a lot of wisdom. When you observe, there's a pattern. You would see what could be. If you take your time, you'll be able to do it. It's doable, but sometimes we are in a hurry. We are in a hurry. Oh, I complain, and I complain, and I complain. You do something. The complaint is not just, just bringing it up to discuss is not the only thing that you can do. Show him love. Go the extra mile. You know, let him feel comfortable if he's not staying at home. Make everything good in the house that they'll be comfortable.
Okay, to add,
to add
to what my sister Rose is saying, I think one of the major areas of the problem comes from where the couple or the people in relationship don't see it necessary or important to know each other very well. Knowing even yourself very well and knowing your other very well, and if there is any sacrifice, any commitment, anything you would want to invest, if it could be invested into knowing yourself better and knowing the other also better, that would be the foundation on which many other things can be built. Because even when you read the Bible, it said, with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, a house is built. So, if wisdom, knowledge, and understanding builds a house, then certainly the fundamental knowledge you want to gain to build that house, which is your marriage, certainly should be knowledge about the materials that are going to be used in building that house, which is you yourselves. Unfortunately, many people, when you even ask them who they are, they really cannot tell. They will only maybe mention their name, the work they do, and all that, and at the end of the day, all their achievements. Mm-hmm. But who are you if you should look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, who am I? And be able to appreciate, not to defend, not to stand in an entrenched position about yourself, just to want to
prove a point
or to just say things or do things or imagine things for your self-relevance alone. The reality of your weaknesses, the realities of your strength, how they all blend together to make you who you are. Much more so, our strengths don't create problems for us. It is our weaknesses that does. So if you are somebody who is so defensive of your weaknesses, and before marriage, what happens is that some people say love is blind. So you want to even look at the people who are in courtship, who are in relationship, or who want to get married. All the conversation they have is so flimsy, is so narrow. It's more about, oh, you didn't call me, I called, you didn't do this, and all kind of fancy things they're talking about. But real issues about themselves are not discussed. Unfortunately, when it even comes to time to go for even counseling or any sort to receive advice, they are so much in hurry because the marriage is running away. They have to raft too fast to catch it up.
It's running away to where?
I can't tell. And I always mention on this platform that someone was asked, at what point do you know this marriage is not going to work? The response the person gave will shock you. He said, when we were walking down the aisles, I know I shouldn't be getting married. So it is quite interesting. And then another part, I want to still go back to the Bible. Was said that, who is it that is wise that want to build a house? Will not sit down first to count the cost, to be sure that when he start the building, he will be able to finish it up. So that it doesn't get stuck on the way for people to look at the unfinished building and ridicule them.
Awesome. On that note, as you are pondering over this deep statement he's made from Scripture, we'll take a short break and then we'll be right back. So I'm in the studio with Mrs. Mary Rosaki and Dr. Emmanuel Hobson. We'll be right back. Please stick and stay.
The city is alive on 97.3.
Welcome back. Yes, yeah, so we want to go to the council and take some of the messages. Okay, so let's start with AC. AC says, good morning, farm life. The woman in the studio is making a point, but there are some men you just can't reason with. Some guys are just stuck in their own ways. They are never ready to overextend themselves and be ready to work towards the relationship. When the marriage narrative changes, couples should be willing to change with time. Marriage is marriage when both are willing to work together daily. So that's what AC says. And then John says, good morning, fam. I've been in my daughter's life since day one. Her mom left us when she turned two. I've been taking care of her with the support of family and friends because impartially behind my little girl is now 8. She went for Easter holidays at her mom's. Her mom now wants full custody now, which I'm against because my daughter is now very helpful considering my condition. Please, what do I do? Okay, so who, Doc, will you give your attention? So he's saying that, yes, so he's been, the mom left them when she was 2. Now the girl is late, it's 8, that's 6 years on. She went for Easter breaks with her mom and now she wants full custody. And he says the girl is very helpful to him. So what should he do? What do you think, Doc? And then AC saying that so that I support what you are saying, Mary, that there are some men who just don't want to work at it. It's not that the woman is unwilling. Actually, the woman has to improve herself.
Of but course. Our nurturing. People just have been brought up. Like we've said this here before, how we are bringing up our children. We should tune them and let them know that one day, they'll be in the life of other people, and so they should be considerate of others.
Exactly.
But we raise these children in their room, my TV, my this, my that, my that, my that. They don't share anything even with their siblings. So they grow up. They are wonderful. They are people with beautiful hearts. But unfortunately, they've been nurtured wrongly. They don't know how to share things around them. So it becomes a problem when they marry, you know. So those are some of the things that makes them look like, because they'll even say, hey, whoever does this, I've never seen this before.
You know what I want to propose to organizations, corporate agencies, is that if you want to have team members who have functional love lives and functional homes, they should bring the training to their company. What I mean is that some of these guys and these ladies will not by themselves yield or go or participate in such training on self-awareness, relational efficiencies, and what have you. But if it's crafted and delivered in the work environment where they earn their keep and where that thing matters too much, so much to them, and because they need to, they are required to, that can be a starting point. Because some of them, like you are saying, are not aware that they are bent. They become a tree that is bent and that needs special surgery to be get straightened. And that becomes possible if they first receive the information, because the knowledge needs to be obtained before then they ingest it and then start internalizing it and then start the process of realignment. So I think I'm giving a word out to organizations. Sometimes you have spouses, one spouse willing to go for the training, but the other is not. They think everything is okay. Meanwhile, sometimes they are the bigger trouble. But, you know, because of personality differences, because of the nurturing, because of ego and so many things, people are not. But in the workplace, once it's part of the work schedule and it's a part of the work training, they are obliged to participate. So it's a good angle that organizations can begin to. Because if they speak to spouses, if the organization wants to have a cohesive team and not just look at the bottom line, and invariably, the bottom line is affected by even how people play out their love lives and how they feel at home. You get me? So if organizations can begin to factor this crucial element of self-awareness and relational, improve self-awareness and improve relational efficiencies, it will go a long way to help at home. Because then the person will learn it in the workplace and that will carry it home, whether it's male or female. There are ladies who can cook and they think there's nothing wrong with it, but they can get learned. Two various stuff, you get me? There are men who would not hold a diaper when the lady is overstretched, but they can learn. And they can do that to the workplace where they can be, in quote, compelled to participate. And that can be a beginning of a learning. Mm. I remember once somebody said he went for leadership training in Japan. And one of the first lessons they made to do was to, you know, this, this is a thing that they do with paper. See, I've forgotten the name for it. So you craft an airplane and stuff. And says, you brought me all the way to do. But by the time that was the first part of the practical training. By the time they were done, his whole posture had changed. I know somebody who went for some training, they were made to go on to row a boat on a lake in SA. So stuff happens.
Yeah.
When you do it through the organizational dynamic, because that one, they are required to. So as a requirement, they will do it. And then we can begin to, because there are a lot of men who are hurting their wives too much. And they do not go for training, do not go for counseling, do not make themselves amenable, do not listen to. When you pass the information through their family or a third party, they will not. And then they don't take offense. So let the offices and the organizations begin to bring in that bit so that we can have more functional homes. That's my two cents.
I think that some organizations, some of the institutions, they have some family time, you know. I understand. I'm also making a point.
Mm.
They create family time where they have family fun, whatever. They do games and whatever, dinners and stuff like that. But I think maybe in those times they could put in something when they are having those kind of events. They could put in something to help the essence, building that kind of essence of family with the work and all that. They will put in things that would help, times like that. So, it won't just be fun. But okay. Then in the having the games, they could incorporate things like that that could go along.
I would recommend a different schedule. There is even because there are some people, see, Doc, you know, the personality traits, there are some who don't want even their wife to know that they are not good enough. So sometimes if you do it...
But nobody is not good enough. That I will not agree.
Oh, Marie, please, from where I sit, I'm sure Doc will talk more on it. There are personality traits.
That you are not good enough. Nobody, you can't tell anybody that is not good enough. Everybody has some kind of...
Marie, it's not what you think. It's what pertains. We are talking about the nature and the nurturing. There are some people
human beings, everybody has a good side and a bad side. The person is not good enough.
We are not saying that people are not good enough. What we are saying that there's a personality that feels that others are not good enough. It's a trait.
You are saying about a personality type.
It is a growth area for them. And so such people, if you bring he and his spouse into a meeting to tell them and then the pointers are indicating how not good he is, he will rather close up than open up. But if you do it in a work setting, I'm saying so by virtue of all my dealings and interactions, and of course the little knowledge I have, but I'm sure Doc will go more into that, then we can answer the other question. Because you see, the moment they are made to feel that they are not adequate in some area, their world crumbles. Doc, am I right or wrong? Please carry on ahead, yes. And then address the lady's concern about...
Okay, actually...
The guy's concern about the 8-year-old
When you were proposing that, in the workplace, it would be good for some of these trainings to go on.
Mm-hmm.
I have a particular, experience with the various institutions and organizations that I have the opportunity to work with in these areas.
Okay.
So... We have developed a program called Emotional Wellness Training and Clinic for performance and productivity.
Okay.
And it's a program that deals with both the theoretical aspect of what the various human beings and their uniqueness contribute to themselves and to others.
Okay.
And the sum of the weaknesses and strengths that they have to fit into certain roles and the level of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Because the issue is that no matter how big or large an organization is, these psycho-emotional issues, which form 80% of 85% of the human being you are dealing with, can be the various cause of the damages at the workplace, even if they have the hard skills to work with.
Mm.
So this program has helped a lot of organizations like the Bank of Ghana, the VRA, the Ghana Armed Forces, the Ministry of Trade. Till today, Ministry of Trade is, in fact, appreciative of the program and have even wanted to extend it to other areas to cover most of their workers because of the benefit this has been to them. Okay. Whether we like it or not, work life defines every part of our lives as people.
Yeah.
If you calculate the number of years you spend at the workplace, the number of hours you spend at the workplace, and the time you are going on retirement, you realize that anything that goes on in your work life is taking a chunk of your life. So if that is not taken well into consideration, it renders you the entire person, what do I say, ineffective at the time that you are going on retirement. So various countries are investing into some of these programs. If you look at what investment the European Union is making, the investment that the US is making, and one interesting thing that I realized was the investment Holland is making into some of these programs. They come to realize that they have spent over 100 and something billion on absenteeism, depression, dysfunctionalities, non-performance, presenteeism, and all sorts of things at the workplace. So they come to a point where they realize that let's see how we invest into this psycho-emotional well-being of our workers and see how their performance and productivity will be. Can you imagine that? The research proves that every 1 euro that has been invested into this program, after 3 years, the benefit it renders back to the company or institution is 13 euros.
Wow.
Okay, so it's a good A. Now the company is able to do the assessment and see what the company is getting back. How does it, in terms of what Mickey's proposing, how do you measure the effect of it at home? That's the question I would ask.
Okay. The measurement of it at home, you know, learning really, really make us explore and discover. When some of these things, say for instance, if someone were to go to a training from home.
Please hold your thought. Don't lose it. If you are just joining us, this Farm Life live here on City 97.3 FM, we are taking, it's an open forum. We have some messages which we'll be giving attention to shortly, but you can bring yours as well via WhatsApp or Telegram on 0549-986-996. Again, 0549-986-996. We'll open the phone line shortly, so please stay tuned. You can share, question, comment, contribute, whatever aspect or area you are interested in.
Okay, right, take for instance, if from home perspective, couple will want to attend training and all that or seminars. Most of the time, they may give excuses. But if it is organized from a workplace perspective,
that's what I'm saying.
People are likely to take it serious. They are compelled.
Yes.
And now, whether they appreciate it or not, knowledge gain certainly will influence the person's life in one way or the other.
Yeah.
So now, that is where, it doesn't matter where you learn from. It matters where the knowledge is applied.
Exactly.
So certainly, they may also apply this in their homes.
I'm listening to this and I'm laughing.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I really appreciate all that. But like you said, some people are so difficult and estranged in their ways. Look at how often how often are Ghanaian officials travel outside the country and go and see all the good things there and enjoy? They come back. They can't implement it in Ghana.
There is a difference between there's a difference between somebody who refuses to not only learn but not to apply knowledge. Because whether you like it or not, the human sense protects our ego,
yes,
and protects our emotional territorial boundaries.
Yes.
So anything that will give you a paradigm shift that you are not committed to,
yes,
may not be appreciated, no matter how and which environment it has been established.
Let me give you an example. In one of my very early and young leadership training programs that I undertook, I actually represented my boss then. So he was supposed to go. It was for heads of institutions, but he could not. So he asked me to go and stand in for him. One of the assignments, they give you a sheet of paper. And then the topic is how to follow instructions. And then there are 30 questions. If you say this, then you say, we hear people saying, hey, this. When you get to the last question, the first statement on, when you get to the last question, then it says, write your name. That is all you're supposed to do. But underneath the heading, they've written, read all instructions before you answer.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean? You're supposed to read all the 30 instructions before you answer. But people
the
instruction was read all questions before answering. So the only question that you were supposed to answer was your name, and your that was all. So that's how it is with we send proposals to organizations that look, the women are hurting, some men are hurting. Some men are hurting, but a lot of women are hurting, and they are the ones who are your staff. So they bring the pain in. It affects sometimes banking issues.
Seriously,
it
affects productivity in all areas.
They come and they can't focus and they can't concentrate because their husbands are not treating them well, and their husbands are in organizations. So by taking the issue of self-awareness enhancement, relational enhancement, relational dynamics enhancement, then you put them in a better state in a way.
I remember
help them to deal with, and then the fallback is that it affects their dealings with their colleagues in the workplace, affects their dealings at home, and then their spouses feel better, their home becomes more cohesive and more meaningful and more enjoyable, and the overall output, both under the for the bottom line of the productivity, and then for the well-being of the home, is enhanced.
That's
so
right.
We are pushing that agenda that, look, organizations, be willing to put value in it, because at the end of the day, the man, the woman spends a big chunk of their day with you. Like how some of the companies like Data Bank and others set up crashes in their offices because they realize that a lot of their managers or their top-line staff are women who are in their productive years. And so rather than a woman resigning or not being very productive, they set up a nanny and a crutch that they pay for. So you come with your baby till you close at 3. Then you can go in from time to time, breastfeed, check on how they are doing. That is the dynamic of managing the contemporaneous of the issues. Because if spouses are hurting, and that is, they have to undergo training and support and help, and they are not getting it, it affects the outcome.
Yeah. I remember when we started this program with the various institutions. Mm-hmm. We did just introductory program for the various ministries and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But when the HR of the Ministry of Trade picked this up, push it through, that she feels this is very unique and will be beneficial to the staff, because other trainings are mostly technical,
but
the training that goes into the individual's personal development is a gift that they are giving to the individual, not only when they are at the workplace, but for the rest of their lives, which will by extent also affect their families, affect their children, affect their well-being. So when he came out with the idea that I want to push this through, I want to give it to as many of my staff.
Yes.
And I look at it and I said, well, when we started the program with them, first, they don't know the how much important it was to them. But when they got to the program and realized that, apart from just the training, there is a clinic aspect of it that goes into the various practical for them to go through some psycho-emotional clinical analysis and laboratory tests, which were all inclusive in the training and which interpret the various dynamics of the individual intrapersonal makeup and how they behave and relate and how they do things and how they respond to things. I think, in fact, it was such a mind-blowing to them. And I really congratulate them for that and all the other institutions who also have engaged some of these things. And I believe strongly that is how we can shape our workplace through the individuals and as well shape our families and, at the extent, shape our society.
Dr. Dan, let's pay attention to the message.
Okay, he said John says that he's been in the life of his 2 years child since the mom left, and now the child is 8 years old. Now the mom wants the child to be with her, and now the father also wants the child to continue being with her. But there is something that the father said that I want to really look at carefully. He said, now that the girl is 8 years and helpful to me, the mother wants her to be with her. That is the aspect that I'm a bit distinct with, which I think we need more clarity on that. Which to say that it shouldn't only be the reason of the girl being helpful to him alone, but there should also be a consideration of the girl's well-being, for that matter, a balanced well-being. The greatest gift parents can give to their children is to make sure that both parents are in the life of that child. Now that the mother has left, I don't know the circumstances and the precipitating issues that has caused the leaving of the mother. And that detail also may help in processing how the situation can be managed and the resolution established to give a balanced environment for the child. So we can't get all the details now. So any advice I'll give right now will just be to encourage them and give them tidbits of what they can do. They both need to take themselves out of the situation and focus on the well-being of the 8 years old child, because they adults have made their decisions. They shouldn't allow the decision they have made to affect the innocent child. So building a kind of resolution around the child's well-being will be the best way to go.
So other than that, the mother now wants full custody. He's had full custody from age 2 to, in fact, from all the time to age 8. So what will you advise? I mean,
where the man is looking at it from is that
he said that
I have sacrificed for her to 8 years.
Yes.
Now that she's helpful
to
me,
now you want her.
So that is where it shouldn't be based on that. It should be based on the child's well-being.
That will include
they themselves coming to agree that for the balance of the child's well-being, we may need to share the custody.
We should
be in the life of the child.
Okay.
Because, and that is why I'm saying that, what are the precipitating issues that cause the mother's leaving?
Okay.
Without appreciating what goes into that, we will never be able to tell.
Even if maybe the environment of the mom is acrimonious or hostile to her, then all those are factors.
Exactly, that would need to be taken into consideration. Has the mother gone to marry?
Yeah.
And what so is it? What are the outcomes? Issues that occurred before she was leaving?
Okay.
Are there some hot bloods that have not been managed well or whatever?
So, John, I think you can call, ask for Doc's number and to begin to use that if further help can be given. I hope we've addressed that. Now, let's take another one. This Anand from Lai says, good morning, please. I can relate because in my marriage, whatever I do is not good enough. All right, so that's Anand. Then Thelma says, good morning, Farm Life. I've got an opportunity to do my second master's in the U.S. for 1 year, funded by the school. But my boyfriend is not happy about it. He says he's afraid I won't come back. And he doesn't want to relocate either. He's also worried about a male friend I have in the U.S. in the same school. He feels I might end up with that guy when I leave. He wants me to stay so we get married in a year or two and stay in Ghana. I don't really know what to do because he's a great guy. Okay, let me ask you, Thelma. Thelma, if you can get back to me, how old are you? You know, one of the things now I want to push is that we often, society is pushing us. It's not wrong. You know, survival is becoming more difficult. The higher you go, the cooler it becomes. And so advancing, getting your second degree, getting your third degree seems positive and good. But what we must not lose sight of is that a woman has a biological dynamic. The physiology and the anatomy of a woman has certain advantages and disadvantages as you age. So be mindful in the scheme of all these things. One, if you love him, two, he doesn't want to leave her, but that's fine. That's another dynamic. But look at all the factors. What are the possible trajectories? If you, the later you marry, the more like the fertility people will tell you, or the Ghana, the obstetricians and gynecologists will tell you, the older a woman gets, right from after age 35, then the rate of giving birth and all the other dynamics, the risk factors increase. And that's something we don't talk enough about. People talk about freezing eggs and what have you, but all of them have challenges and it comes at great cost. So sometimes look at your life in its entirety. If I get A, B, C, what are your plans? Look at all of them. And then if you're a believer, pray about it also. Because it's not all that glitters that is gold. Sometimes you get the education and everything. I know women who I personally have spoken to who want to get married. And the men are not there now. Some are doctorate holders. Some have their houses and everything. Because every woman has a time frame. The availability of men as you go that reduces. Because your men will get married at a certain age. So if you let your timing pass you by, you need another wave to find a man. That is likely how it is. And so sometimes we think, oh, the man, you find a man. It's not always that true. It's even so, even for men. But men, because they are the progenitors and they go ahead to marry. No woman goes to marry a man. Normally, now women are trying to manipulate, scheme, plan, strategize to get the man to marry them. But we take all these things into consideration, because if you don't, okay, you're 31, yes, so it's a year cost, 32. So think through all that and then look at what the best outcomes is. Because look, we are neglecting that part, and now women get married, some are in their late 30s, some in their early 40s, and they want a child and they can't get a child, and it comes under whole mahala. And they are spending lots of money in IVF and fertility treatment, because sometimes they could have had a child. Sometimes if you have a good, understanding, respectful man, who is trustworthy, who is teachable, and who is considerate, you mean, well, you can improve on your education at any time. But maybe let the children come in at a point. People tell you can have children at any time. It is true. But sometimes it can be tough. So I'm just saying that because over and over, more women are expressing that concern now. They're going to get married. There are women who are going to get married. Some don't want to, yes, but the majority want to. And sometimes their timing, when they had the opportunity, when they're in the flower of their life and they're a lover of suitors and there are men coming on, they thought, oh, and now I want to go to school, I want to advance my career. Yes, you advance your career. Now you've got the degrees, now you've got a good job. Now you can't find a man. So then when you have a good man, weigh all the dynamics and then decide what's best for you. Of course, the decision is yours and yours only. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, what I want to add to that is that it's a very dicey situation and has a lot of complexities. This same thing can be a blessing to them, and this same thing can be an issue for them. Take, for instance, there are some people in natural lives that have forsaken their personal development for marriage, and they live to regret it for the rest of their lives. There are some people who stop work because of marriage, and at the end of the day, they realize that it was a bad decision they have made. Now, looking at their situation right now, I think the major thing here is not just the personal development or the travel or the scholarship or what to do, but it is most, I think, is about the trust and the confidence. That is the issue. So if the two of them can sit down and look at the trust issue, and look at how they can build the trust, and look at what other approach can be used in order to stabilize the relationship. And there are different ways they can build confidence and trust in the relationship. My question would be, if you cannot trust your partner at the time that you are in courtship or you are in relationship, not married yet, and you cannot trust the person, then certainly it's already a red flag to you who is not able to trust, and the person who is not being trusted cannot be trusted. It's already a red flag.
Doctor, hold your thought. Let me just announce the phone lines. You're opening now. So we're opening the phone lines now. Please keep your messages short and succinct. You can get to us via phone on 0302-230-075. Again, 0302-230-075 or 0302-224-959. Again, 0302-224-959. The phone line is activated. Thank you.
Yes, so, so personal development is very good, and nobody will compromise personal development for anything, because that is you and building up yourself in order to even accommodate and also be more helpful to your partner. So I don't see anything wrong with it if the two of them can look at it from a positive perspective, or taking into consideration all the other factors that will help them to either look at this as an opportunity that will be helpful to them in the future. Because when the lady is developed or have such opportunities, is going to, at the end of the day, contribute to the relationship. The only fear is that, like she said, she had a friend at the university there already. So the guy is afraid that when she gets there, he may either go for that boy or whatever. That is also a realistic consideration the boy is also making. It's about fear of losing her. So maybe the intention may not be all bad, but they need to look at it very carefully and see what measures they can put in place in order to help themselves become better people in their relationship, and also use some of the opportunities they have to better benefit them in the future.
Awesome. Well, let me read this. Good morning, City. I personally thank God Almighty for life and what He is doing in my life. I'm 37 and she's 39. We understand ourselves and we love each other. Preparing for marriage before I lost my work. In the beginning, she has been supportive, helping me to look for new work. Fast forward, her attitude towards me is changing. Now we talk, chat, and pray in the night in the name of busy at work. Please, I need advice. She told me she's growing older, and at all means she has to marry this year. Right, so that's the person's question. So he says she's 37, he the male is 37, the lady is 39, and things were moving on slowly till he lost his job. And initially, the lady was supportive. Now he seems things are changing between them. And the lady says she has to get married at all costs this year because she's growing older. So he's asking what can and what must he do. We should advise him. What will you say, Doc, in a few moments? So
okay, go on to somebody else. The first thing is the lady has a legitimate concern and a fear. And I don't know how they are living condition. I don't know how their living condition is currently or now, because situations happen in people's life and are not permanent. We all go through hard moments, difficult moments, and some challenging moments that if you are not very careful, you get yourself even lost in it. It takes grace and support system to keep you afloat. However, such situations don't remain. I heard somebody say that tough time don't last, but it is the tough people that do. And the memories of people who stand with you in your difficult moment never get erased.
Okay, so Doc, so now let's see what he wants. What he wants is that, what he's saying is that she wants to get married this year. He doesn't have a job, and at first she was supportive. Now she's not really supportive, and now they only engage in the evening. He's concerned that there's a change. So what must he do? He doesn't have a job.
The change,
and the woman says she wants to get married this year.
Yeah, the change is the legitimacy of the woman's fear. Mm. Because it's when you look at their age difference,
he's
a bit older than him.
Yes.
So that the fear is legitimate. Mm. That is why I said I don't know their living condition. If, they, for instance, the man has worked before, it's only now that he has not gotten anything to do, and the woman has the upper hand at this time by getting something doing and is earning. Now, they need to look at their condition to see if there is any way they can help each other achieve what they want to achieve in the marriage, which, if indeed the woman finds the man to be the type of person that she want to settle with without having any other second thoughts, maybe still considering that I'm older than him. Possibly the woman may also be thinking that because she is older, the guy may at one point or the other may find
somebody
a younger and all that. So there's a kind of insecurities that surround the two of them.
Okay.
We cannot just on air just tell them what they should do, but we need to understand the situation better.
Okay, all right. So now let's go to, before I come to Abena from Dodowa, let me read this one as well. And the person says, good morning from life. Thanks so much for all your education on building a strong and a happy home. But you know what? It is rather unfortunate that some partners are never ready to learn when you give them the opportunity to learn more about working on building a real home. Some have left the women to their fate, and it's really hurting. It's really hurting. The most annoying part is that when I talk about it, I don't really get answers at all, because it is always out of context and content. Forget about raising issues of research and counseling. I'm a married woman, and all that you are discussing now really is about me. I will always listen to your program to learn more. Thanks and God bless you. Only God, hashtag, only God can build our homes. Please. Okay, all right. So that's a concerned woman's issue, and that's what we're raising, that there are some people who are not open to learn, or their commitment to the marriage is not up to where it ought to be. Now let's take Abna's one as well.
Yeah.
Abna from Dodowa writes, good morning, Farm Life. Great program. We love you for your free counseling every weekend. Q&A. What of when your partner says that his little toe has more wisdom than you, so he sees that any suggestion you give is in the discussion is foolish? So I have decided just to shut up, never to say anything, because a stupid person cannot offer any advice. Doc, what do you say to Adwa in Abna in a few minutes? And anyway, let's go to the next.
Abna
from Dodowa.
Actually, it means that there has been deep-seated and entrenched situation in that relationship. For a man to say this to the wife, then I wonder what was the consideration in getting married to such a stupid woman in the first place. So it means that maybe it has not started that way, but along the way, certain things have gone wrong that have not been well managed. It either may be an expression out of anger, disappointment, or anything. It could also be out of displeasure and their relationship going lethargic. So all they need to do is to want to see how they can work on their relationship. It is possible the way the man is coming out is sounding as if a man who is checking out of a relationship emotionally, because considering the kind of words he's using on the woman, it's a bit.
Look, you know, some people are blunt and are not very cut when it comes to expression. They say what they think and they not care the consequences. So sometimes that's a painful one. If you can join us via our phone lines are open, 0302-230-075. Again, 0302-230-075 or 0302-224-959 or again 0302-224-959.
And most of the time, you need to look at the situation in which some of these words were used. Mm-hmm. When you just listen to it from a one-sided perspective, mm-hmm. you may not know what contributed into some of these expressions. Yes. So you may either judge wrongly mm-hmm. or you may not judge correctly, yes. because if they are quarreling,
yes.
they are fighting and exchanging words, hurtful words,
yes.
and they are in the retaliation of causing each other pain. Then if the person expressed such, we want to look at what the other also have done before the other also said this.
Okay.
But if it is just something that the man expresses just to demean the woman, then certainly we need to look at that man very carefully, because it is not all the people that are dressed well and nice looking that may possibly be very well.
Okay, right. Now, Rich says, good morning, Farm Life team. My prayer for you is that God richly bless you and increase you in wisdom to continually help humanity. My question is, please, what are some of the qualities you must look out for in a woman before you finally take a decision to marry? Divorce is something I never want to happen to me if I marry because of the consequences. Doc, are there any few things you want to share? So whilst you are there, let me read the last one. Let me read the next yes. Say, good morning, Farm Life. Please, how does one handle a sexless marriage? Married for 3 years with one child. In the last 2 years, they have been intimate 3 times. The issue is from the man, and he doesn't want to talk about it. Always giving one excuse or the other, please. P.S. They have been to the hospital. The doctor didn't find anything wrong with him. He is not ready to talk to. I'm frustrated and I don't know what to do. Wow. If you've been to the hospital, let me handle this one. If you've been to the hospital and the doctor says there's nothing wrong with him, then perhaps you need counseling. You can call, if your husband is willing to go for and to participate in counseling, you can call the number we give or you can ask for my number. And we can support you with some level of counseling, because then there may be other factors that is causing that. Is there wandering affection or emotion? Is he into something else or somebody else? I mean, so those things counseling can help deal with as well, since you've taken care of the medical dynamic and it's not a medical situation. Yes, Doc, the person about what some of the things they should look out for to get married. As a gentleman is asking, but
okay.
Maybe you can make it general.
Okay, to what to look for in a lady is, first of all, how is the lady looking? Depend on what you are looking for as the ultimate. Many people approach marriage from different perspectives, so your first take will be, what do I want in marriage? Do I want marriage, or I am looking for a perfect person to be married to? That should be the question you should answer first. Then going from there, there are just a lot of qualities that you may be looking for in a man and a woman, depending on the type of person you are. The first and foremost thing that you will look for in a woman is a woman that is docile and respectful. Mm-hmm. And in this respectful, is the respect of a woman should not be to intimidate or to make her subservient to you. And when we are talking about respect, many people think that in our culture, respect should be, yes, sir, master, bend down, kutu, and then you kneel down and all that. If the woman even wants to share her thoughts, her mind is being considered disrespectful. So we need to look at it when we are talking about respect is one of the key things. We need to also define what we are talking about respect when that becomes a quality that you may be looking for. Because everything that a man wants in a woman is all summed up in respect. But the respect and its interpretation and how we process the meaning of respect is what have a major problem when it comes to dealing with the other parties.
Okay.
Now, the second thing is the lady must be committed to values and committed to having a good relationship, if you are a Christian, a good relationship with God. Because what the person holds on as their belief system will certainly be how they will operate and how they will behave. Because our belief system models how we behave and how we carry ourselves. And that also becomes the measuring instrument by which we evaluate ourselves, whether we are doing well or we are not doing well. And then the third thing would be the woman should be a homemaker. A homemaker. Because, yes, it is good that the two people form and make up a home. But the women have a lot of potential to build a home and also to nurture the children. That is why I always appreciate something Miles Monroe said. He said, if every woman will be very honest to themselves, no woman would have loved to work. Because their commitment to relationship and marriage and building a home is a full work by itself. So if I advise the young guy, these are the three key things, not to go much into other things, will be what you should look for.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, let me take Amponsan from Michelle Camp. Tema says, good morning, Farm Life. I appreciate the idea of corporate involvement in helping the home function. We may be surprised to notice that some decision-making officers have homes that are sick due to their activities. How do they bring their workplaces to be part of such training? Yeah, so that's what we are suggesting. We are, from our perspective, trying to now engage more. Doc has already started. Some of us are going to support him. I want to reach out to organizations so that we can help from that angle. Because when the home works well, it has a cascading effect on the workplace and all other places. And so we are going to do our part on that. So thank you for sharing as well. I'm concerned for Michelle Camp, yes. Because largely, you know, we all are work in progress. And it's been said that the biggest room in the world is a room for improvement. So often, sometimes, we are set in our ways. And because we are sometimes self-focused, self-centered, selfish, or self-aggrandizing, we tend to give little or no room for the significant others and our families. And that's, by extension, what we are hoping we can.
And it's true. Sometimes all these things is dependent also on leadership. So when certain leaders don't see some of these things to be very important, you can imagine how they will want to engage it and want to implement it, even if not for their personal benefit, for the benefit of others. So certainly what he's saying is true. Yeah. What you're saying is very true.
Oh, wow. All too soon, we have to be wrapping up and running down. So we've been listening to Farm Live live here on City 97.3 FM and also on the internet and some of our affiliate stations as well. The Ignite Online Enhance of Awareness and Relational Improvement Training on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. GMT is still ongoing, and it will do you a lot of good. Whether you're single or courting, there's one for that group. And if you are a married person, what is happening now is that some spouses do not want to be part. So you can come alone. You can come and learn for yourself, and you learn ways to have and be a better version of yourself, which would inure to the marriage you have. But where, so we have the couples, married couples version, then we have the singles and courting version. So if you are single and or you are courting, you can send a WhatsApp with your name and then indicate whether you are for the single and courting, singles and so courting, or you are for the married couples. And married couples, if your spouse is not willing, you can still come on and learn to be a better version of yourself and to learn more, to relate better. So you can send WhatsApp to 020-813-6943. Again, 020-813-6943 via WhatsApp, your name, and then what program you want to be part of, whether singles to courting or married couples, and you'll be told what to do to be a part of it. You learn many wonderful things, family of origin, communication, the blind area and stuff, and then your personality traits and all, and you'll be a better for it, that I can assure you. So you can send a WhatsApp and you'll be told what to do. And then also tomorrow is Leticia Ohene's first birthday, so big ups and birthday in advance to you, Leticia. We love you.
Happy birthday in advance, Lit.
And I want to give a big shout out to Lead Africa, which is 10 years old, for the good work you are doing, reaching many young people with life skills and educational facilities and lessons that make them a better version of themselves, so that they can, their greatness in them can be brought out, so they can be the best God has made them to be. Yes, Doc, do you have any?
Yes, and I want to appreciate and thank Accra Mall Management, who has given us the opportunity to partner with us for our self-harm or self-injury and suicide prevention awareness outreach. And this has been very impactful, and I can't even mention one by one the countless people that have reached out, who have found themselves in going through certain levels of life situations that really, really are seeking help and want to be helped through. And all the people who have supported in one way or the other, and also the doctors, the volunteers, the nurses, the psychologists, the counselors who all work with us. In fact, we want to say a big thank you to all of you. The other programs are still on the way going. We are reaching out to other areas as well. So if you still want to be part of this program and worthy cause, why not you call 0244-907190, and you'll be a part of this worthy cause to reach out to the society, and that is how one by one we can contribute to building a better society for ourselves. And I also want to wish my condolences to the families that are bereaved, those that have done intervention into this morning, and then also going to another one. And also want to appreciate Patrick, Osofo Patrick, who was listening to the program and sent messages. And we say thank you to our listeners, my family, and all the families out there, and our great listeners.
Awesome. So on that note, this is Farm Life, your regular family engagement program. I have been in the studio with Mrs. Mayro Saki and Dr. Emmanuel Hobson. We have been ably produced by Nashika Caesar and Philip Nielate, with technical support from Daniel Squashy. Please stay tuned for the big issue which comes up next. My name is Michael Mensah. Do have a wonderful weekend, and God bless you.
nothing's better than family for the ones who love you so. Be a shoulder to cry on when you're in need. They'll never leave you alone.